Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But we were talking about narratives. Paul George is one of those guys who's got some really stupid narratives around him. Jason Tatum is another guy who's got some really, really dumb narratives around him. And those are reasons that we're rooting for those two guys. Yeah. Paul George is the ultimate difference maker. It's why the Clippers gave up so much to pair him with Kawhi Leonard. And that is a different type of Monty McNair swing than Zach LaVine is.
Yeah.
Again, that's not shade at Zach LaVine. That's meant to position Paul George differently.
Yeah, he's just a better player. You want to get into it now or later? I mean, because I think it's a bit of a discussion.
We hear.
So yesterday, last night, I'm watching the Suns get smacked up by the Timberwolves and
again,
Minnesota advancing or whatever, and there's a clip of Bradley Beal getting subbed out. And it looks like he kind of blows off Frank Vogel.
I think he – oh, okay.
Yeah, he kind of blows him. Like Frank Vogel puts his hand out like, hey, good job. And Bradley Beal kind of slaps it. You can make the argument that he was just like frustrated and he was slapping his hand.
That's not the one where he fouled out, right?
No.
Okay.
No, it was like in the third
quarter. Because he had a terrible reaction when he fouled out too, where I was like, oh.
That wasn't a foul either. That sucked.
Well,
but
it's the officials have been so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
So on the clip or whatever, I was just like, trade him to Sac. And not really like, this is exactly what you should do. But I'm in the mode of, I'm like John Lynch right now. We're taking all calls. We're making all calls.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, we got to figure out how to get better. We might be just like John Lynch and go through all these calls and all this other stuff and be like, nothing really exciting. We'll keep things how they are. But everybody's an option. Boy, they tried to cook me in the comments for saying trade for Bradley Beal. And I was like, all right, the situation isn't ideal. I get that. But we got to figure out as a fan base and as people who talk about this, we got to maybe have a consensus on what we got going on here and what we're going to do. Because I've said for a number of different weeks now, if you want to trade for somebody, you might have to trade for somebody that isn't perfect, isn't necessarily easy on the eyes, but you're trading for the upside. So when they have that issue, it might be their injury history. It might be their contract. It might be a combination of both or whatever the case may be. But I was like, all right, well, y'all don't want Bradley Beal. Who do you want? Who, like, how do you want this to go down? Because everybody's saying Monty has to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you, Damian, we've said a number of different times, it might be closer to running it back, and we're not necessarily that mad at that. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. But let somebody say run it back right now with the Kings. And a lot of Kings Twitter and a lot of Kings fans, no, we tried to do that this year and it didn't work. All right, well, what do you guys want to do? Well, give me Paul George. Well, okay. I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm the one that probably brought that to the forefront. And there's a lot of moving parts there. At the end of the day, I said, I would want a Paul George Brandon Ingram, even Zach LaVine type guy in that order before I would look at Bradley Beal. But I'm not going to dismiss Bradley Beal. I'm not going to be like, that'd be the worst thing to ever do. I'm not going to do that. And he might be gettable.
So I think you're overreacting a bit. I don't think you really got cooked that
much. No, they tried. I didn't get cooked. They tried to.
No, those are just Twitter people being Twitter people. Like,
it wasn't like I was Matt George, but they tried to.
Well, all right. That's the second stray Matt spot.
That's why I said Matt. Hey, man, leave my dog Matt George alone, man. Hey. COE, man.
Shout out
Matt George, man. I'm always rocking my guy.
To be
Matt
clear,
George.
When Matt tweeted that about Anthony Edwards, we told him, hey, buddy, you're wrong. Like, hey, you're wrong. He didn't delete it. He left it out there. And I think he even said, yeah, that's not
right.
Yeah,
he was like,
and
nah,
as
I was
soon
wrong.
As he got in the league, he was like, yeah, that was all off. But that's why
Matt
I
kept it up there like a man. That's my dog.
Did they say old takes got that?
Yeah, I think that's.
Because I think that account is such ass.
They got me one time. I forgot what I said.
They did get you. I remember it.
I forgot what was
it. Was like, I should jump in here. But this is none of my business.
He just jumped off the apron. pointed
one of these and turned around. Like you had just carried Miss Elizabeth to the back. The concern from the non, you know, Twitter people, just like, you know, our crew who's having a conversation. Like I'll look at our man D-Thrill here. Nope, Beal is washed and owed crazy money.
That's just
Beal's not washed.
Yeah, they need to stop.
He's
with that.
Owed a lot of money. There's no question about that. Another thing that one of the center things in the replies is you know he's always hurt. He's hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. He only plays 50% of the time. I don't have any issue with that.
That's very fair.
I have no issue with that being brought up. That's a chief concern when talking about Zach LaVine, mm-hmm. is you question his availability. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an issue with that, especially with how this season went. Like, Brad, I don't even know what his total number of games were, but it just felt like he couldn't get on the floor for a lengthy period of time.
53, maybe?
And we all knew, let me not say that. 53, good call. We all suspected this is going to be a problem for this team when the playoffs get here, mm-hmm. because shout out to KD who played, you know, a ton of games this year, but this feels like Brooklyn again. Mm-hmm. Shout out to James Harden. I can't believe I just said that. Phenomenal. Wow. Yesterday. We'll talk about that game crazy. Here as the day progresses, but it felt like Brooklyn all over again. Where, okay, Kyrie and James and KD, they can't get on the floor at the same time, and it's kind of a mix and match of two guys. It's one guy. All right, there's this brief fleeting moment where all three of them are playing, and then someone goes down, and you got these home restraints or whatever they were with Kyrie and all of these weird different things. But if they're all healthy for the playoffs, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. Forgetting we are – oh, their chemistry will be fine. Well, okay, but what about the other players? Like, what about the guys who aren't Kevin Durant? And it was funny. Oh, these hoes is funny because they think we don't remember. They want to pull up Matt George's tweet about something about Anthony Edwards, but they don't want to go back to Stephen A. and all of these guys on First Take at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. talking about how much quality role players that the Phoenix Suns got. Talking about how they won the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Search Phoenix Suns trade deadline and see how many articles you can find about them winning the trade deadline. Hmm. Today, the roster wasn't good enough for Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. You got to build a more competent roster. The days of the big three carrying everything are over. You got to find guys to surround them. Now, wait a minute. Y'all just said 3 months ago that James Jones just executed a brilliant trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So which one is it? Mm-hmm. Mm. But because they didn't tweet it, nobody wants to go old takes exposed on them. But we remember it.
Right.
We read it. You can search it right now and see it. Mm-hmm. And now y'all want to complain about the roster. And so it's less. And while I've always believed there were some flaws in this Phoenix Suns roster, just as there were flaws in that Brooklyn Nets roster, I think there's a certain component to once you get past those three, and you could be referring to Brooklyn or Phoenix, those guys might be able to adapt to each other. I think Kevin Durant is the most adaptable player in the entire league. But what about the other guys? What about player 4, 5, maybe more importantly, 6, 7, and 8? They're trying to figure out how to adjust to all three of those guys. And those players, just by nature of the league, not shade, it's just the way the league is. Mm-hmm. Those guys aren't on the level of those three. Those guys may not have the acumen that those three have. Those guys may not have the adaptability that those guys have. So all of a sudden, hey, everyone's here for the first time, you know, for 7, 8, 9, 10 games straight. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. What's my role? Okay, so I'm not playing 25 minutes anymore. I'm playing 7?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not coming in at the 5-minute mark of the first quarter anymore. I'm coming in at the 8-minute mark of the second quarter. Okay, now I got to change my preparation. Now I got to change my approach. Now I got to change the way I watch film. Now I got to change who I study. Like, I think sometimes we take that stuff for granted and just think, oh, next man up. Mm-hmm. Oh, be ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what happens in those situations when guys aren't available to play during the entire season. Yeah. And of those 53 games, how many of them were played with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker?
Yeah, I think they played, I think, a total of like
30-something. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't play a lot together. Bradley Beal, like I said, all those other names that I talked about before, I'd want those guys before Bradley Beal. He does have warts, some major warts. His injury history is one of them. The contract is one of them, but I'll push back a little bit on the contract thing. People are acting like he's signed to a 22-year deal. Like, there's 2 years. Well, there's 1 year left on him with a player option. 2 years left of the deal. I think that player option year is the one that matches up with the start of what Fox extension would be and Keegan's rookie extension. Mm. So that last year, that player option year would be, I don't even know if you can do it cap-wise or tax-wise, whatever the case may be. But people are acting like he got 7 years left on the deal, bro. He's got one with a player option.
53 and 57 with a player option.
Yeah, like, settle down, everybody. Mm-hmm. Y'all doing a little too much. And then the player, like, they're like, oh, well, you saw him get cooked in this series. He was guarding Anthony Edwards. Nobody is stopping that man. Yeah, and Edwards cooks everybody.
So
what are we talking? Bradley Beal this year, mind you, I would have reservations about even accepting the deal. I'm with people on that. But 18 points a game as the third option on, like, I think it was like 50, 40, 83 for the free throw line. And you'd be getting them, in my opinion, the Suns would be trying to trade whatever just to get off the money. And they take whatever little sorry picks you have left because you missed the playoffs this year, because they don't have no picks for like another 6 years or control over them. So you'd be trading essentially two bench guys, because everybody wants Harrison and Kevin Huerter benched. I think I saw somebody had a trade machine deal last night where Harrison, Huerter, and Sasha's money matches up, and you throw whatever little sorry picks you got. And you make the deal work. Sasha probably wouldn't work. They probably want a point guard in Phoenix, so you might have to give up Davion. That would be my thinking. Mm-hmm. I think people are kind of jumping out the window of the idea of Bradley Beal. Like, y'all doing a little too much.
I'm not sure who our man securing the Bagley's trying to address here, but he says still hasn't answered why he would waive his no trade clause for Sacramento. Or if you recall.
Yeah, dude, educate the man, because everybody talking about this. Go ahead, educate him.
It was D'Lo and KC that reported before he was traded to Phoenix that Bradley Beal would waive his no trade clause to come to Sacramento.
And
Shams reported it 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
But we reported it here first.
Absolutely. And then in depth, Bradley Beal's reasoning for, like, not pushing for a Sacramento trade, one of the reasons was he's like, man, I really like this. You can go find this. You can Google this. He said, I really like what they're doing in Sacramento, but to get me, they'd have to give up some of those guys that helped them get some points. Yeah. Yep. this case, I don't think you'd give up any of those guys.
Yeah. Diminished asset. Mm-hmm. I hate using those terms, but let's call it what it is. It's a diminished asset after this last year. We'll come back. Our man Scott Gobranson is going to join us. We talked about the 49ers side of the NFL draft. By the way, we've got a lot more NBA stuff to talk about. We got a lot more Kings stuff to talk about as well. But we want to talk about the Raiders and the weekend they had, and we'll do that with our man Scott Gobranson next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento's sports leader, ESPN 1320.
All right, we're going to shift our attention back to the NFL, specifically the Las Vegas Raiders, as we welcome in our good friend Scott Gobranson, joining us for the first time this offseason of Silver and Black today. Scott, great to have you. Can't wait to get your thoughts here on the Las Vegas Raiders draft. We'll share ours, but what did you think about the weekend that they had?
You know, it was interesting because I think Raider fans and those that are listening to your show now, which I know you have a lot of listeners who are Raider fans, is you expect the worst. You expect craziness out of the Raiders, reaching for picks, all this stuff. It's happened over time, year after year. So people were expecting maybe, hey, now Tom Telesco, he's got a record. We kind of know how he drafted when he was with the Chargers. Maybe, just maybe, they'll do what everybody thinks they should do. And then we get the first pick in the draft for the Raiders at number 13, and it's a tight end. And people are like, what? And at the time, we were doing a live show, guys, and the look on my face, people were commenting, because I was shocked. It wasn't a bad pick, like, let's say, Clelin Ferrell at number 4 a few years ago. That was a bad pick. This pick was great. It was the best player available at the time, but it was surprising because they went in knowing that they needed a quarterback, they needed an offensive lineman, especially a right tackle, and they needed cornerbacks. They needed some defensive backfield help. So that was a shocker, but it was a good shocker in a way. It took a little bit of time for people to get used to it, but I look at the Raider draft, and as much as I'm disappointed they weren't able to pull off something to get a quarterback, you know, I still, if I'm going to be a teacher and give it a grade, I'm giving it a B or a B+.
Where do you stand, Scott, in those type of situations? Like a guy like Brock Bowers, who I think is a stud. I think he's the real deal, and he's gonna do some really good things at the tight end position in the NFL. He's there available for you, but it's not necessarily a position of need. He's the best player available. Like, where do you normally stand on that? Like, do you say, yeah, we could get Brock Bowers, but let's go for the best cornerback available instead of the best overall player? How do you usually think that should be approached?
Yeah, I would usually think you go for the position of need, right? Because I really thought they were going to go Talese Fuaga, of course, the great offensive tackle out of Washington. And I would have been like, wow, that's a home run pick. But then the Brock Bowers thing happens. And remember, I think some of what you have to put into context here is the Brock Bowers in most drafts. And again, guys that not like me who talk about it sometimes, but guys who follow the draft all year round in college prospects, they had him maybe even going top five, right? They had him going top five, definitely top 10. So the Raiders come up at 13. They try to go get a quarterback. They tried to trade with Washington and New England, and they couldn't get that done because those teams were taking quarterbacks. So they said, sorry, we're going to take a quarterback here. So when the plans fizzled to try to get up and get Jaden Daniels or one of those guys, I think that everything kind of changed. And when they got there, Brock Bowers was there. And listen, this was a 23rd ranked offense last year in the NFL. So if you know you're not going to have that next franchise quarterback, that young stud coming in at the top of the draft, why not get the best offensive weapon available? Because you got Gardner Minshew, who's a good number two quarterback. You have Aiden O'Connell, who's kind of a statue, also a good, I think, backup quarterback and will be in the course of his career. Why not get them something that's going to help them and going to bridge you over until you do it? So it took me like a couple hours to kind of get to grips with it. So I see why they did it. I don't have a problem where they did it because it was a deep draft on the offensive line, and they addressed it later and did a good job of it.
As it pertains to the quarterback position, do you think it was just, look, we're comfortable enough at the quarterback position to move forward with what we have? We don't want to, you know, give up the king's ransom that it's going to take to get where we want to go here. Or is it just kind of the old tired cliche of, look, it is what it is. We weren't able to move up. These are who our quarterbacks are. We feel like we've got some really, really good players in front of us. And there's also, you know, you talk about six quarterbacks in the top 12, at least two of those were marked as second round picks. And I actually appreciate the Raiders for thinking, look, we're not going to overextend ourselves here on something that doesn't make sense. And we're certainly not going to trade up for a player at this position that we might not actually want. So just is it just like, look, guys, we've got to be comfortable with who we have at this position.
I think so, because I think this, a couple things come into play here with the quarterback. They really wanted Jaden Daniels, right? Jaden Daniels played with Antonio Pierce at Arizona State before he transferred, of course, to LSU. After that, Herm Edwards' staff kind of fell apart under the NCAA sanction stuff. So they wanted him. I think they might have considered and might have taken Penix if he was there at 13. I know and the Falcons kind of messed the whole thing up, right? Because they took him at 8. But I do think that it was a smart move. It was a move that you didn't see the Raiders do often. Again, they've often reached there and done things where you're like, okay, where's the adult in the room? And I'm not saying Tom Telesco is the best GM that ever walked the earth, but the restraint that we saw there, they stuck to their plan, went with the best player available in the first round, and then got later and addressed all of their needs. So I think when you look at that, you say, you know what? They signed Gardner Minshew in the offseason. People are like, why are you giving Gardner Minshew a two-year contract worth 25 a year? Why are you doing that? He's a backup quarterback. Now you know why, because that was their plan B. If they couldn't get up in the draft and get one of those top four guys, they were going to say, okay, like you said, D'Lo, we're not going to overpay. And yes, we got to kick the can down the street again, but we're willing to do that. And then we can build out the rest of our roster. And then maybe next year you give up more draft capital or whatever you need to do to get higher in the draft. There's less prospects next year at quarterback, but they might have another plan there and say, hey, you know what? We'll wait for that time. Let's build out the rest of this, strengthen the defense, which is already ascending, and try to address some of the issues we had on offense.
Yeah, and I understand that. Like, it makes perfect sense to me. What we're starting to learn about the way you build a team in the NFL nowadays is, ideally, you want to have the surrounding parts there ready to go, and you can, you know, get a young quarterback in there and, you know, kind of help him along a little bit. But it feels like the days of, you know, reaching for a quarterback when the rest of your roster isn't ready to go, those days might be gone, because by the time that quarterback, if he gets to the point where he's ready to go, by the time that he's ready to go, it's going to be time to pay him. And then how are you going to put a roster around him? So everybody's trying to get that young quarterback on the rookie contract and get everybody around him. So the whole point being, if you weren't able to go get a guy that you really wanted, no need to rush. Build the roster around him and then look for your opportunities later to go get a young QB.
Absolutely. You look at the Raiders last year, 8-9, right? So that's kind of no man's land. There's no 500 anymore. So it's a little bit below 500, but they're 8-9. They improved their team on both sides of the ball this year. They signed Christian Wilkins, of course, from the Dolphins on the inside on the defense. The defense was already getting stronger as the year went on, right? One of the best units towards the end of the year. So they now strengthen that defense through the draft as well. And on offense, they've strengthened it too, because you bring in a veteran quarterback. Yes, Gardner Minshew is who he is, but Gardner Minshew was one game away from taking the Colts to the playoffs last year. So if I'm the Raiders, I'm saying exactly what you said. I'm going to stay here, because then next year, if we come out, we win 10 games or 9 games next year, that means we're ready to make that jump, and we're ready to spend some money on a quarterback or go get a young quarterback, and then have a team ready for a young quarterback that's on the precipice of the playoffs, instead of a team where you have to really build like you are seeing in New England and where Drake May went.
Can you tell us about Jaxon Powers-Johnson? I read a lot of great things about him last night.
Yeah. I mean, he is a stud, and he is the exact guy. When you think about what Antonio Pierce has said, and a lot of people, including me, every once in a while said, okay, Coach Pierce keeps talking. I get it. It all sounds great. It all sounds like we want ill intent. We want violence. We want this. This guy, Jaxon Powers-Johnson, is that exactly. He was made to be a Raider. Of course, his great-grandparents were season ticket holders at the Coliseum in Oakland, so he's got some background there too, which, of course, fans love to hear. But this guy, remember, he played center, but he's going to play guard in the NFL, and he won the Remington Trophy. This is a dude, and I'm telling you that this is the exact kind of guy that he wants. And not only that, but you put him right at right guard in this Raiders offensive line already, and he's going to be, I'm telling you, he's going to be there 12, 15 years. He is that good coming out. I think most people were shocked that he fell, and the only reason he did fall where he did was because of all of the offensive run in the first round with all the wide receivers and all the quarterbacks. And then the big tackles went a little bit before him too. And that's what the Raiders needed too, was a tackle. When they picked him, I was not shocked because he's such a good player, but at the same time, I was expecting them to go tackle, and instead they go with the guard. But I'm telling you, he is a dude, and he's going to be rough. And with the way the AFC West is shaping up, I think that that was a wise choice. And I think that he's going to be, when you look back a few years from now, he's going to be one of the steals in the draft for them to be able to get him at 44 in the second round.
So, Scott, you know, I know where my bread is buttered. I know where my specialty is. I know where my eyes are. And when it comes to offensive and defensive line, that's not really my bag. You know, I listen to the guys that know better than I do about that. My bag is in skill position players. My bag is in playmakers, right?
Yeah.
And I really like the kid out of Mississippi State. I like Richardson, the cornerback. He's got good speed on him. Seems aggressive. Looks like a possible playmaker. What do you think about him?
I think you're right. I think if you look at his raw ability and you look at his size, everything you want in a cornerback today in the NFL, he's it. The only issue is he's a little raw. So the good thing with him is they really liked him so much. He went above, I think, where people thought he was going to go. And so if you want to call it a reach, we say reach, but listen, if a team's got him on their board higher than the other guys, that's where they go. There was guys like TJ Tampa, some other guys who were more highly rated that were there when the Raiders picked, but they really like what they can build there. And so I think coming in, he'll be able to come in and not have the pressure of having to immediately go in and start. I think that pick signaled to me that they want to develop him, which is a good sign, right? The Raiders have not been good about taking draft picks, developing them into long-term players in the organization. So now what they can do is they can go sign a free agent that can help out right now at cornerback, but they think they got their guy for the future who's going to start on the outside opposite of Jack Jones. And so, yeah, there's a lot to like about him, his speed, everything. He's a ball hawk. And I think that over time, he's going to be a good professional player. But the good news is they don't have to rush him. And then, you know, you get some of these kids, they get rushed and then, oh, they're a bust. Well, you got to let a kid develop, especially cornerback in the NFL with the way things are now with wide receivers, these tight ends like Kittle. These guys are nuts out there. They're huge. How do you cover those guys? So I think that he's a good pick, and he will grow over time and perhaps be a great pick eventually.
I like they went 4 offense and 4 defense. There's obviously a lot of things that the Raiders needed to do this offseason. I kind of like that approach. I'm with you. Like, I don't know the draft nearly as well as you do. Obviously, the quarterback thing is looming over this team. I'm not the biggest Gardner Minshew fan, but I think those first two picks that they had were a home run, and overall, I thought they had a really good draft.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State at linebacker. He's not the most Ohio athletic State.
Well, settle down. Nobody needs that thing there. I call him Ohio. I don't even get into all that. Just Ohio.
Uh-oh, you got to be careful there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Take a little dig.
Again, another guy that is in that mold that Antonio Pierce wants. He's not the most athletic linebacker there is, but he tackles. He doesn't let go, and he's got a mean streak. He's a mean dude. And then one of the guys I really liked that you might be more familiar with the West Coast is Trey Taylor, the safety out of Air Force. This guy won the Jim Thorpe Award last year, and they get him in round 7. Now, his speed is a little questionable, but he's a guy I think that they could also develop. And that's what I like about it, because Tom Telesco has, in essence, put a class together with guys who are going to help right now and guys that they can develop over time because they like their talent, and then they can supplement it. And I think that, to your point, Casey, about building a roster in the NFL, is you have to think short term, because guys lose their jobs, including GMs and coaches, if they don't win. But you also have to build that roster, because at some point, bills come due. You have to manage the salary cap. And when you do get that young quarterback and you want to develop them and keep them on the roster for a while, you're going to have to build around them in other ways too. So I think from that perspective, they did a good job. It's not the usual practice for the Raider organization to do things logically and systematically, but I think that's what they've done, even if some of these picks for some fans were not sexy.
I think it's just the quarterback. I think that's all it really boils down to, is the fact that they didn't come away with a quarterback. Damn. It's what is this? Where it's like Sean Payton drafted Bo Nix, and no knock on Bo Nix, like, he drafted him 12.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Right.
There's nowhere in the world he was slotted at number 12.
No.
Like, his own family didn't have him going at 12.
No, man. They weren't even by the TV. And
Sorry, what'd he say? Like, what? Baby, yeah. Man was getting some nachos. Baby, your phone's ringing.
Like, you know what's crazy, guys, though, is that is what I see it. I was talking to somebody right before the draft started. I said, you know, the crazy thing is all these really smart people and scouts, they do all this work building up to the draft all year round. And then they start the draft, and it's like, I don't know if you saw the video of those women at Target over these Stanley drinking cups and stuff, going nuts and assaulting each other. It's sort of like that in the NFL. Suddenly quarterbacks start going, and these guys that are really smart people in the NFL start just picking guys. And I felt like that's what happened a little bit, especially with those two quarterbacks, because you're right. They were projected to go in the second round, and I would have been okay. Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., you could argue for him if you want, but I thought, okay, maybe one of them sneaks into the very bottom of the first round because somebody trades back up from the second to get him. So it just goes to show you, though, how important the position is in the NFL. And so teams are willing to do whatever they want. And the Raiders said, you know what, we're going to wait on it. We'll see if that's a good decision. If they go out and both quarterbacks stink, then I'm sure it'll come back up.
No, I think they made the right decision, and I like the idea that quarterbacks are Stanley Cups. That's solid work there, Scott. Great catching up, man. Look forward to talking to you more as the NFL season approaches, man. But we're following, man. We're paying attention. We're seeing what you're doing over there with Raider Nation, and we're excited to talk more moving forward.
Well, I appreciate you guys as always, and we will talk to you next time.
Yes, sir. Take care, Scott. Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye now.
Listen, man, Scott Gobranson, Silver and Black today. Is the website, the podcast. Just really, really great stuff. If you're a Raider fan, you should be following our man there. Great Twitter account as well. My man spends his days covering the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. And what's funny is, you know, it's not much different than the conversation we were just having about the Phoenix Suns and all of these talking heads, because you're still, you know, talking about how these really smart draft people, both in organizations and on television, giving you their ideas of these players and mapping them out. And one of the most fascinating components, and Amy Trask brings this up a lot, one of the most fascinating components to the NFL draft is, and this happens in the NBA too, but the fact that a season will end and guys will start to move.
Yeah.
The like draft position, no game has been played.
Right.
Not a single piece of film has changed, but the want, need, or desire of an organization has changed.
Right.
An organization decides Russell Wilson's no longer a part of their future, so all of a sudden their need for a quarterback looks different. They're slotted in a certain spot. Well, That could be an interesting spot for Michael Penix. Let's look at Michael Penix. No, I know we have him rated in the second round. Wow, we might be able to move him up a little bit. All of a sudden, the team that signs Kirk Cousins says, you know what? Let's go get crazy. This Penix kid.
Yeah.
And then you got Sean Payton there. Well, who's next on our list? Bo Nix. Yeah, Bo Nix was a late second rounder. That's fine. We're here at 12. Let's get him now. We'll talk more about this later. It's so fast. There was no quarterback picked, but there were six in the top 12.
Uh-huh.
No quarterback picked from 13 to like 149. Yeah, bro, what?
And the crazy thing about that for me is I didn't feel like those quarterbacks were like, I didn't look at them as like traditional first rounders the way that quarterbacks of the past. Like, I thought they were cool. Like, I like Caleb, obviously. I like Jaden. Drake May, he's a good quarterback, mm-hmm. but like.
He's 12, but he's a great quarterback.
Yeah, the other guys, it was like first round guys.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. Remember Lamar went on the very last pick of the first round.
That's what I'm saying.
And that was a big deal that he was the fifth quarterback taken in that draft. He went last in the quarterbacks, last in the round. And now and maybe that's part of the reason teams fall over themselves to draft a guy like, and it's no knock, but draft a guy like Michael Penix or Bo Nix. Like Michael Penix going at 10 or 8. I was still here when that happened.
Right.
And Charlie was like, hey, Penix just got drafted. And I'm like, by who? Atlanta. What?
8 is crazy.
Isn't Kirk Cousins on the foul? Whenever an agent has to issue a statement, things have gone bad.
Yeah. No, it didn't feel like anybody was happy about that one. Penix, Cousins, fan base, nobody was happy about that one.
His agent was like, yeah, they mentioned it, but not this year. All right.
I meant to talk about this the other day. Did you see the Roger Goodell, I guess, went on Pat McAfee and talked about a couple things about like the season going to 18 weeks, which
I heard that
we all thought it was
inevitable.
Yeah, yeah, we all thought that was going to happen. And then he talked about how the teams would get an extra bye because of that, and they want to extend the season to have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't like the 18 games, but yeah. I do like another bye.
Yeah.
And I do like the idea of a 3-day weekend Super Bowl. I'm all in favor of that one.
I got to be honest. I remember the quote, the push notification about the 3-day thing.
Mm.
And my first instinct was to be upset because I thought it was MLK Day. And I was like, oh, this is the most NFL thing ever. They're going to eliminate MLK Day, and it's now just going to be known as Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, man.
But then I was like, wait a minute. That doesn't check out. Oh, it's President's Day. Okay, yeah. Do whatever you want with that. I don't even know what President's Day is other than when you can get a great deal on a mattress.
Well, shout out to the mattresses.
Shout out to Roger. People have wanted that Monday off for eternity. Yeah. So, hey. I've never gone that hard on Super Bowl Sunday, but
no, do
you, man?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
I can't imagine the 49ers or Raiders winning a Super Bowl and not doing a show the very next day.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Whatever. It's cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure people will love it. People love throwing Super Bowl parties.
Yeah, and I like the idea. He also talked about more international games. That's something I don't like. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Stop all that.
I don't know why. And but part of the extra bye week would be cushioning the blow of more international games.
Yeah.
Like there are, you know, bye weeks that are essentially a requirement
right.
when they pertain to international games. But now you're stretching into and don't forget it's this year. We have a Wednesday game
because of
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. He's tripping.
He is
tripping.
It's like you don't have to do that.
Right.
Like you don't. Like you could do, like no one's going to be upset at a game on December 26th.
Oh.
Like, you don't have to do that. But,
they're thirsty.
It's what it feels like.
They thirsty.
That's what it feels like.
They want some of that Christmas.
And my guess is, I didn't look at the schedule. I'm confident they have a game on December 26th. Like, they're not moving the schedule. They're just
adding
to the schedule.
I forgot what it was, but there was like a playoff college football game or an NFL game on from like every day from December 20th to January 1st or something like that.
Something crazy. Hey, salute.
Except for like maybe 2 days.
I thought something creative that they did. Maybe they've done this before and I only noticed it last Thursday was the there was a bug, a big graphic promoting the NFL schedule release coming in May.
I saw that too.
Didn't have the date.
No,
but
give us the date. What are we doing?
No,
I think it's a floating situation too.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But like it puts it on your radar like, oh, it's the end of April. Mm-hmm. We have another really big day in the NFL coming in May because everything involving the NFL is a big deal, despite the fact that we know every team that the Raiders are playing. We know every team that the 49ers are playing. We know where those games are being played. Now all we're learning is what Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or random Saturday or Wednesday they're playing on.
And I'm one of them people. I'll be looking forward to it.
No, it's fun.
The 3 hour show schedule breakdown. Now that's a little excessive.
Three. Man, that joint might be five. You got to have the pre-show for the schedule release, the actual show with the A team, and then the post-show Sports Center.
They be tripping on that one. They be absolutely tripping. Like 3 hours.
And you know who they start with? The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you see the homecoming.
No, that's not true. They'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs and when they open the season.
Yeah.
And then they'll transition to the Dallas Cowboys.
I wonder who the Chiefs are going to open a season against this year.
It's a good question.
Maybe the Chargers. Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, yeah, that's good TV.
Buffalo,
good TV.
Buffalo's probably on the schedule, so that would be an option.
Oh, I like the Chargers, though. That's a good idea.
Did Buffalo win the – I think they won the AFC East, yeah, so they would face them on the schedule.
Yeah. They took it from Miami?
Yeah, because Miami, remember, they had to go to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, last game of the season, Buffalo got
it. Yeah, sorry, Jess.
Damn.
That's fine. That's why Jesse's not here. Jesse will be back Thursday unless he hears this. Then he will not. All right, we'll come back. We are all over the place today. NFL drafts, Punky Brewster, Out of This World, Evie. We've gotten career updates on all of those actresses. We talked to Scott Goldbranson. You know what we haven't talked about is that Clippers Mavericks game.
Ooh.
That
was one of them. Ones.
One, that was fire, and that was a game that was so greatly enhanced by Mike Breen.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
and the
man.
setting was crazy.
Oh, it was
shout out to the Mavs.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah, they did that. Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah. We'll come back. Steve and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots
of Hot Takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in on the conversation. 916-909-1320. Now, back to D'Lo and KC. Presented by Sky River Casino on ESPN 1320.
All right, man. Keep it moving.
What else is popping yesterday?
Yeah, we'll dedicate this conversation to our man Tim Richards. He jumps in the chat and complains about everything we discuss.
What's his issue now?
Shout out to our man Tim Richards, who loves when we talk about the Clippers. And man, what a game it was yesterday between the Clippers and the Mavericks. Excuse me, an absolutely fantastic afternoon game where the Clippers go up a million. Paul George is white hot. You know what gave me pause about that game? They couldn't miss a three. In the first half, they couldn't miss a three.
Everything.
And it was just like, all right, so here's where I'm stuck. I think the Clippers will find other ways. Because the Mavericks are going to go on a run. They're not going to quit. Their crowd kept them in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I kept thinking, because that's always my concern with the Kings. Oh, the Kings hit 14 threes in the first quarter and a half? All right, we'll see what happens. I kept thinking with the Clippers, they're going to find another way to score.
Yeah,
Paul George is going to find another way to score. They probably have this. And then Kyrie started getting going. And it was...
stupid, man.
Hey, and you said it.
This dude.
Shout out to that Mavericks crowd. The lead went from 31 to like 21, and you would have thought they were within three.
It was turned up.
That crowd was, and again, I can't say this enough. That game was so enhanced by that broadcasting team. Mm. I mean, obviously Doris and JJ did fine, but Mike Breen's calls in those moments were extraordinary.
Yeah, that was
a perfect afternoon game.
They
that followed a terrific start to the day, by the way, with the Knicks and the takeover, the New York takeover in Philadelphia.
Man, I'd love to see that too.
But yeah,
I love to see that them boys in Philly. They got their whole arena just destroyed. Did you see post game of Knicks fans in the lobby?
Yeah.
Outside,
when I heard how loud it was, I started searching. I wanted to see videos from outside. Yeah, they were all over Twitter last night or yesterday
that
afternoon.
That was hilarious. I was dying.
It was hilarious, but sort of incredible. That's Philly.
That's what I'm saying. And that's where it reminded me. It's just different with New York, man. New York is just different, man. The reach of New York is just so. It's different. So it doesn't matter who you are. Philly, Boston, if they play Boston, I think you'll see some of that as well. It don't really matter. But that, like you said, the setting in that first game was crazy. And then Dallas and that crowd was just, it was into it, man.
Yeah.
And you talk about Kyrie, he hits that shot, that all-time playoff shot that he hit, and they lost their mind when he hit that shot. The setting was great, man. And the funny thing about it was, I told you I went to the movies on Sunday during the day.
Yeah, you weren't happy about it either.
No, well, the movie was fine. The preview was a joke. But I came into the game at the start of the fourth, and I saw, the Clippers are up by four. Oh, wow. I didn't expect that. Little did I know as I went back and watched stuff that it was almost this epic collapse. Mm-hmm. So that also added to the environment.
Because
everybody in Dallas thought they were about to see this historic comeback.
All I could think was, man, 31-3-1. There's a Doc Rivers joke in here somewhere. I'm just not clever enough to put this together somehow. If the Dallas Mavericks win this game, it's Doc Rivers' fault. I don't know how yet, but it is.
Always a Doc Rivers joke.
Yeah, so it was probably a completely different experience coming into the game at that point.
Yeah.
Versus just, I had, like, I'm kind of moving around the house, which was why I was so locked in on Breen's call yesterday. Like, I kept hearing Breen just accentuate stuff to where it got to the point, you know, because I got up when they were up 27, and I start moving around, but I can, you know, hear everything clearly. And then I just, like, after halftime, as that third quarter starts to get loud, I'm like, what the hell is going on? What's the score here? And walk down, and I think at that point it was like 17. And to just watch Dallas, you know, pick apart, watch those threes that were falling in the first half for the Clippers to stop falling, to watch them, you could almost see them envisioning what would happen if they lose this game. Like, you could see it on their faces.
The weight of everything.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And salute James Harden. James Harden did a hell of a job in that fourth quarter.
I couldn't believe that.
To make sure the Clippers didn't lose that game.
I couldn't.
And I get my James Harden jokes off, but I'll give him credit when credit is due. And he was phenomenal yesterday in that fourth quarter.
I couldn't believe that, man. I could not believe that James Harden was closing the show the way he was doing.
Yep.
And stepping up in the biggest moment.
15 points for James Harden in that fourth quarter.
Wow.
And 14 for Kyrie, by the way.
Oh, Kyrie. Look, man, Kyrie's the one on that team. And I know it comes
Kyrie's
off like I take
the
a lot
one
of,
in the league.
Yeah, facts.
Like, Kyrie is,
I know it
man.
Comes off like I take a lot of shots at Luka. I think Luka is an unbelievable talent. Super talented, just born to be a great basketball player. He has things that you just can't teach. So I'm not disregarding that. But when the Mavericks get going and they're looking like a formidable team, it's because Kyrie gets going.
Mm.
It's not because of Luka. And I also have an issue with, we saw it on full display yesterday in that game, Luka just completely allergic to playing defense. I had a tweet yesterday. He was working harder to avoid the switch than he was playing defense.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him in a switch, and Luka was, let me get there. No, I'm going to get there. Then actually playing defense.
I'm sorry. I missed that. How'd that go again?
He said, slide, left, left. Hey, let me get there. To avoid the switch.
That Luka impersonation is way funnier than mine.
this dude was in a defensive stance, closing out, doing everything he had to do to avoid the switch, not to play defense.
Yeah.
So I got a problem with that. But Kyrie, man, when he gets going, man, it's special. It really is special to watch. Yeah.
33 for James Harden, 33 for Paul George.
Oh,
it felt like, I don't know, I'm sure this isn't true, it felt like all 33 came in the second quarter, like, or in the first quarter. He was just incredible. And then, you know, Luka, 29. Kyrie 40, including, as you noted, one of the great playoff shots I think we'll ever see.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Now, the game, because the Clippers won, it's just kind of one of those things where it's just a basketball game now.
Mm-hmm.
If the Mavericks had won, that would probably, it would go down in history because of the performances of Paul George and James Harden, and more importantly, if Dallas had wound up winning, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic.
Right.
Now it's just kind of a game, right? It's a game that had – and Dallas, yo, credit to them, because I thought when it got – I think it was at like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I thought okay, – and there was still a ton of time left. The way that the lead disappeared was crazy, because that 31 – it's not like it went down to the final minute for the Dallas to get the lead down. They had the lead down in the fourth.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, the Clippers have a run in them. It's just it's the game.
Mm-hmm.
They have a run in them. The question is the run like 6-0 or is it like 14-2? I think if it's 14-2, the game is over.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.